And welcome back once again for the 383rd time, Parish of the Patriots. Glad you could join us once again this week. I am recording this on Saturday, so if, say, Sunday night or Monday, the world explodes, that's why I'm not talking about it. Either I didn't survive, or I'm not going to bother recording another show. Just talk about the world blowing up. Y'all just had to wait another week, and we'll talk about when it's old news. World blew up a couple weeks ago, by the way. Y'all already heard about it, but I'll go ahead and mention it now. Now, if the world blew up, we'd probably do a round table. You would get Sven, Dr. Johnson, and myself talking about the world blowing up. But anyway, as it is, you get what you get. And I get what I get. Hopefully, if you get something out of today's show, don't be shy to pay those tithes. We've got the P.O. box. That's it. We got snail mail, no cryptocurrencies, nothing fancy smancy. We got a old fashioned. We're analog here. And it is always very much appreciated. Look on the description page for the show. You'll see it right there. There's the address. It's not real hard, not real complicated, but it is always very much appreciated. So that brings us to this week's listener supporter mailbag. We've got one entry this week. Dear GPD, hope all is well with you. More sporadic support from the unreliable supporter. And so it goes. All the best. Till next time. And that's from Jackie. Thank you very much, Jackie. Hey, you're actually more regular than a lot of people because you do send something. And it is, of course, very, very much appreciated. Of course, it's been a busy time since recording the last show. Quite a few things have been going down. And of course, I feel obliged, obligated to talk about it. I was at the post office talking about a listener supported mailbag to check the P.O. box. Got to go to the post office, right? Go to the post office. And for a minute, my brain glitched out. It happens more often than it used to. And I'm chalking it up to age. Age and the fact that, I don't know, I have a hard time, sporadically have a hard time sleeping. I don't know what's up with that. You know, I didn't even think about it. And then finally I thought about it the other day, and it's like, you know, I'll go weeks sometimes averaging like 5 hours of sleep a night. What's up with that? I don't know. Maybe that's why I sometimes glitch. But regardless of the cause, I glitched for a minute and I thought, why are the flags flying at half staff at the post office? What's up? And then I remembered the honorable, all sarcasm implied, the honorable Lindsey Graham passed away. It's very tragic, very sad. Lose one of America's greats. I don't know about y'all. And of course, for me, it was yesterday, but you know, this past Friday, Sven and I did our Friday Daily Nationalist, and I mentioned it on that show as well. But how many of y'all, like, when you heard Lindsey Graham died, you know, someone, they're not telling us who. Isn't it funny, like, you got somebody, they're trying to portray him as this great American. He's a very important person. The legendary Senator Lindsey Graham. And it's like, they you know, things that you would think would be important. The guy lived by himself. So who called 911? You know, who called it in? Funny how that does it. Media's just not curious about that. We all pretty much know. But how many of y'all, when you heard Lindsey Graham die, what did you, what was, just be honest, what was the first thing that popped into your mind? First thing popped in my mind, you know, because it was like, you know, early morning, late night situation. And, you know, fresh back from a trip to Ukraine, to Kiev there. And I'm thinking, you know, bag of coke, can full of poppers, a big stash of meth, you know, face down with a gerbil up his ass. And his grinder companion there was like, hey, he's quit moving. Oh, shit. Quick, dial 911. Now, there's all kinds of theories, you know, maybe he was taken out. I mean, anything's possible. people were talking about the fact that, you know, he died of natural causes. You know, well, yeah, I mean, you know, cocaine will make you have a heart attack. I don't know how natural a poor innocent animal inserted into your rectum might be. Look, and I'm just, you know, obviously I don't know that. So I shouldn't say such, but that's the first thing that popped into my mind. And I bet a lot of other people too, but everybody pretends. Oh no. I thought it was telling how so many of these politicians, just to like demonstrate as if you needed an exclamation point, as if you needed more of an example that they live in a different world than the rest of you. You have all these politicians from both of the both sides of the Uniparty, you know, talking about, oh, I really respected him. And, you know, we may have not always agreed, but we always knew he loved America and this and that. And it's like literally everyone else in the entire country, in fact, the entire world, hated this guy's guts. I mean, you're going to pretend otherwise? It's like, you know, I've heard people that live in this guy's state that he supposedly represents, and they will say that they have never run in. They live in the state. They know their neighbors. They know people. They talk to people. They live there. And they say they've never heard, they've never met anybody who said they voted for this guy. And yet he magically always gets back in. Well, not anymore. Now, they say there's all kinds of different theories, you know, about the circumstances that he died, you know. One of the things that fueled that is people were like, okay, well, they're telling us. It's funny how the government and the media are like, why don't people believe us? Why do they clam on to these crazy conspiracy theories? And it's like, well, because y'all lie to us about literally everything. See, that's the downside. You know, always remember, don't ever be a liar. Because when you become a liar, no one believes you anymore. You just have no credibility as an individual or as an institution. The government and the media, which are one and the same, or should say they belong to the same basically entity, they lie to us continually. And then they're like, why do people believe in, they'll take the word of a guy on a random podcast before they'll believe us, and we're the experts, we're the official authority, because you're full of shit. Always. Like, always. But anyway, you know, people were pointing out that this guy supposedly died of natural causes, and yet the FBI, like, spent days going through his house. You know, well, what's up with that? And one of the things, and it was said in almost a defense of this, almost in the context of debunking the conspiracy theorists, I said, oh, no, the FBI, you know, because people were like, well, if he died of natural causes, why is the FBI there carrying stuff out of his house and combing through his house? And almost in a context of debunking, people were saying, oh, well, they're just, you know, Lindsey Graham was known to take home classified documents all the time. It's like, why have classified documents? You've got top secret documents. And he's like, I believe I'll take these home and share them with Zelensky. Oh, no. He always took classified stuff home. So they got to be sure and, you know, clean all that up. What's the point of having classified documents? The guy regularly took them home. I don't believe that, by the way. Oh, and I do believe, I'm sure he did take classified documents. I don't think that was the problem. I'm sure there's part of it. That's the way their lies work. They give you a little bit of truth. You see, they're there picking up classified documents. Okay, what else are they picking up? Well, carrying out bags of, fresh from Ukraine, kilo of cocaine or, you know, whatever else. I mean, I don't know. What other evidence? Who called in the 911 call? I tell you, you know, there's virtually zero chance that, the grinder date or person being human trafficked and rented out to Lindsey Graham that called 911 would listen to this show. But if they did, I would say you better go find somewhere to hide and disappear, because they will disappear you. They may be like, oh, well, no, you ain't got nothing to worry about. You just, you know, go on, keep your mind. They're going to tie your loose end. little subtle humor there. You got to be catch the subtle humor. They're going to tie your very loose end up at some point in time. You better go find some place. Ditch the cell phone. Go find some place to disappear to so you before they tie your loose end up. I find it so tiring. You know, I was talking about all the people coming out, you know, the politicians, and talking about how great he was. And it's like literally everyone else in the country and the world hated this guy's guts. But this is where it brings you to, you know, people talking about, oh, you shouldn't say things like that about dead people. You know, we shouldn't speak ill of the dead. I think this is an example of another misunderstanding of the Christian viewpoint as I see it. You shouldn't gloat over the dead. You shouldn't make light of the fact that somebody is in hell now and ran their time out on pointless things. But, you know, you shouldn't celebrate it. But at the same time, you know, you shouldn't lie about who this person was. You hear what I'm saying? And there's nothing wrong with pointing reality out in the context of this should be a cautionary tale for other people. You know, all the money he got, all the bribes, all the corruptions, all of that stuff. It went right back to who gave it to him. See, that's the thing about it. These people take the bribe, they take the corruption, and it's always temporary. He's rich. How many times have we heard this? These corrupt politicians, they're very rich. They have all of this money. Yes, but it's not theirs. Where does money come from? We know how, you know, the banking system works. You know, they create the money, and it's not a matter of just simply printing it. You know, there's a whole process of how money gets into the system. But the point is, the money creators create the money. Basically, I have nothing. They go on about, you know, oh, the U.S. government owes this many trillions of dollars in debt. It's crazy. How are we going to pay it back? It's not. Oh, my gosh, though. What? Understand. We owe. Don't give me that, because I didn't borrow any of it. I didn't sign any paper. You like how they program people to accept things without question over and over? This is part of word spells, by the way. We owe all this money. The government has run up this huge debt in the name of the American people, and now we owe all this money. This comes out to $200,000 per American citizen, man, woman, and child to pay back this debt. I don't know shit. I didn't sign any paper. Imagine if a bill collector came banging on your door talking about you owe $2 million to the bank down here. And you're like, what are you talking about? Well, your neighbor took out a $2 million loan, and he's the head of the homeowners association. And so, he skipped the country. So you got to pay it now. And you'd be like, what are you talking about? I didn't sign any paper. Where's your legal document saying that I owe you this money? But yet they program everybody that we owe this money. We're on the hook. Oh, shit. And then people will try to frame it up as a moral obligation. You've got to morally pay your debts. I love that. Well, the bankers love it, too. This is also a part of the word spells, part of the programming. Don't get me started on, once again, another example of the godless who will try to quote the Bible at you. Oh, yeah, well, the Bible says the wicked borrow and do not repay. You don't want to be wicked, do you? Don't you dare not pay Goldman Sachs. The reality is this. The money isn't anything. It's digits. The vast majority of money. That's why I don't like it whenever somebody said they print out this money. Shut the hell up. Most of it's not printed. They simply sit here. The reality is they sit here and key in numbers on a computer. That's how it's created. They keyed in a number on a computer. Pull up the calculator on your laptop and add a number in. 2 million. Put the number to, better yet, put the number 6 million in. Now just say that's money. Copy that 6 million number off the calculator, paste it in it, and send it in an email to somebody and tell them, now you owe me $6 million. And they would be like, what are you talking about? I sent you $6 million. In other words, why do you have a moral obligation to them for money that doesn't exist? They just created it. They tapped it into a computer and hit send. There, it's in your account now. See, the difference is they have the power to send it into your account. The most you could do is email the $6 million. Email the $6 million. To your friend or whatever. You see, they have the power to key the numbers in and then hit send and literally put it into your bank account. Voila. You know? They don't know anything. They're not out anything. We don't have gold money. They didn't, you know, set aside $6 million worth of gold and then issue the certificates to your account. It's literally just numbers on a computer. So it is, and they act like, oh, you have a moral obligation to make sure the numbers go back into their computer. And if not, what are they really out? They're out numbers on a computer. Oh, but you have a moral obligation. I got way off on a tangent here. They create the money this way. Numbers on a computer. Put it into your bank account. Now you're a politician. Now you're a shill. Now you're a celebrity. Whatever the hell your role is in the satanic system. And you're allowed to use it. You can go rent all the human trafficked young boys, girls, whatever you want to. Go get all the best cocaine that Ukraine has to offer, whatever. The hell you decide to spend it on, most of the time corrupt people spend it on corrupt things. Nobody thinks, you know, somebody who's taken millions of dollars in bribes is, you know, funding a children's charity, unless it's part of a human trafficking operation. Then it's, yeah, probably. But you're just using it. Where does the money go after you spend it? It makes the rounds and it winds up going right back to the people who initially keyed the numbers into a computer. This gets into how money is created. You know, I wanted to go off into the whole thing on that, but basically it's borrowed into existence. That's how it goes in. You know, for every dollar created, it has to be loaned into the system. That's how debt is how it gets into the system. So that tells you because money gets into the system, it is quote unquote created via debt. It makes the rounds, but eventually it goes back to who loaned it, who created it, who entered the digits on the computer. Does that make sense? So it's always on loan. You took a bribe, you got however many millions of dollars to shill for more war, more weapons, whatever the hell. And eventually, though, it may make them. That's why they don't care. They don't care about how much money they spend bribing these people, because they know eventually they're going to get the money back. It'll make a circle, and they're going to get it back. It may take a little bit, but it's going to come back. Now, you're one of these people taking the bribe. Look at this. Where's your money now? You dead? You know, you gasped your last. Last sand ran out of your hourglass, and you face yourself. You face yourself before God, and there's no excuses. You are what you are, and you know where you're going, and you don't have anything, nothing to show for it. Don't speak ill of the dead. No, don't mock the dead. Don't mock the condemned, the damned. You know, don't make fun of the damned. But I'm not going to lie. You know, don't lie about what they are. Don't pretend like they were a great person and you don't know. That wears me out too. You know, you see these people be like, well, yeah, I mean, you know, someone like that, yeah, they did a lot of kind of bad stuff, but only God knows where he's going. Look, you know, God has the final word, yeah, but I know where he's at. I'm going to sit here and pretend like God welcomed him with open arms into the kingdom of heaven. That's just to make a mockery of God. You know, he's in hell. That's it. Now, I'm not mocking that. I'm not celebrating it, because that we shouldn't do that. It's a very grave thing when a man wastes his time on this world, the time he's been gifted, on stupid temporary things that you can't take with you. But I'm not going to sit here and pretend, well, we don't know. He could have found God's grace. I saw somebody wrote that. They said something along the line of, well, we don't know if he received God's grace or not. Well, what do you mean? To not know would mean you don't have any idea who God is. You know, like, at all. Because if you have a inkling of knowledge of the Lord, you know good and well. Oh, well, maybe God welcomed him in his grace. What? Do you have any idea who the Lord is? Why would he do that? He doesn't. No, come on now. Again, it's nothing to be mocked or celebrated. Somebody, you know, wasted their lives. But you also can't ignore it, because people who are still alive, because if you're alive, you've got some sort of sand left in your hourglass. That means you still have the opportunity to start turning your shit around. But once it's done, it is done. There are no do-overs. Oh, we don't know. We don't know. I mean, he could be in heaven right now. We don't know what God's going to do. If that's your attitude as a Christian believer, you don't know God. You better start trying to get to know him. That's what we're here for, to try to understand, to try to start comprehending. Again, this is what the Bible emphasizes: wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. You know, you start grasping, you start getting a mental, a spiritual picture of who he is. If you sit there and go, well, it's a mystery, I don't know who somebody, we don't know where someone like him is going to wind up. What? Yeah, we do. We're warned over and over where people like that are going, so don't be like that guy. Again, we're not mocking, celebrating, or anything like that. But it is a cautionary tale. I'm not going to sit here and pretend. Anyway. It's before I move on, it's akin to, it's not the same thing, but it is like related in a sense, if this makes sense, to the false prophets. You know, as I've said before, I'm currently, my Old Testament reading right now is in the book of Jeremiah. And it occurred to me, you know, because Jeremiah is doing this back and forth. You know, the Lord tells him, go say this, and then he has a reaction. And it's a little bit hard to read because, you know, until you kind of get the rhythm of it, you know, because it almost seems, parts of Jeremiah almost seem disjointed. But then you, once you get the rhythm of it, then it makes sense. You know, the Lord tells him to go say this. But then sometimes it'll just, without kind of note, it goes into kind of Jeremiah's reaction to that, or Jeremiah describing what happened to him as a result of it, the people's reactions to him. But anyway, you know, in Jeremiah, he's dealing with the false prophets, and they're all like, you know, oh no, none of these disasters are going to come on us. We're the people of God. The Lord brought us out, our ancestors, out of Egypt. We're his people. It would make him look bad. He can't do that to us. Yeah, you know, it's. I was thinking, you know, those that make the excuse, America's still the most Christian nation on the face of the earth. It's like a lot of, you see the same, you know, the same errors. That's what I say. It's all patterns. This is what the Bible, this is what what's referred to in Ecclesiastes when they say nothing new under the sun. A lot of that references the fact that things in this world work in a pattern, both the creation, but what people do, human nature, it's the same patterns. Well, sure, we may have become a corrupt, utterly corrupt, sinful, and shitty nation, but we still claim to be God's people, so that means he's got to give us a pass. No, I got bad news. It means you're judged on a stricter level. You're held to a higher standard. Anyway, same pattern. It's just it kind of rhymed with me. Like I said, we don't need to get off in a whole thing on that, but just a little something I jotted down, thinking about it. You have the experts are like our false prophets of the day, you know, because back then they would go, you know, they would bring the experts in. You know, Jeremiah would go out and he'd have to tell these people what disasters were coming on them, and they'd be like, "Well, hold up a minute." Let's ask the experts. They bring the experts in. And the experts would all be like, "Man, this guy doesn't even know what he's talking about. He a fool. Everything's going to be great. You think that?" Well, look here. It was written before in the time of Moses. God said he's going to do all of this stuff and watch over us and protect us, and nobody's ever going to be able to do anything to us. See, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Of course, they were lying by omission. Yeah, God said all of that. And then right after that was the, as long as you do this and don't do this. See, they leave that part out. And same old pattern today. Lying by omission. You know, God said he's going to always watch after us, and we'll always have a nation here on this earth. What did he say right after that? What do you mean? As long as you do this, that, and the other. Have y'all been doing this, that, and the other? No, you haven't. That was the whole message Jeremiah was bringing. You're burning your kids alive in a human sacrifice to Baal. God didn't tell you to do that for sure. Oh, he's going to protect us, and we won't ever lose our nation because he said so. He said so to Moses. Well, he said so as long as you stay within the confines of his system, of the laws. Are you doing that? Well, no. Then it means something else is going to happen. And you have these evangelical Christian Zionist lunatics who do that. Like today, they're still peddling the same lines as the experts, the false prophets of back in the day. God doesn't change, and God said he's going to bless Israel, so we need to send them all of our money. As if the, yeah, anyway, I don't want to beat that to death, but moving on. Let's move on, because this is about the third or fourth time I said I was going to move on, and then I get hung up on another point. More stuff. Trump did a primetime address the other night. As I was recording this, it was the other night. Been a few days longer since when you hear this. No, I did not watch it. But it's something when I become speechless over something. Because some things are so obvious, what they're doing, you know? He does this primetime speech. What's the purpose of it? And people are asking, what's the purpose of it? Now, you know, the media was all about, oh, once again, he's repeating debunked claims that the 2020 election was meddled with or was not totally legit. You see, this is all hand-waving for both sides. For people who still buy into this theater and they don't understand the synchronicity of it and how they're all working together, how it all works together to keep you bought into the system. Oh, you know, for the left, this, for the media is playing to the normie left. Oh, Trump's out there repeating these debunked claims about the 2020 election not being on the up and up. They put boards up over those glass-paned windows to keep the COVID out. Totally. It wasn't because they were carrying in boxes of ballots. It's just crazy talk. What the purpose of this was, and again, I didn't watch it, but I saw what it was about. And when the news was talking about it the next morning, I knew instantly what they were doing, what the whole purpose of Trump's little speech is, or was, rather. Trump's support is evaporated. Basically what he is left with, this is his core support now. His core support, because you have your core support. And, you know, that's the people that hardcore, you know, they're true believers. They support you. And then it grows out from there, you know. People who like what you say, they may not agree with everything you say, you know, but you're the lesser of two evils. It goes on out from there. His core support has shrunk immensely. You know, the people who were hardcore in his camp, you know, that were willing to give him the benefit of the doubt way beyond what people who maybe just supported a few of his positions and thought, well, at least he's better than Kamala Harris. His core support has shrunk immensely. And as far as I can tell, this is just a layman's view from out here. Just your average guy. What is left of his support is ill-informed, and I'm not, you know, just trying to insult people, but ill-informed boomers who get the entirety of their worldview from Fox News and like Newsmax, I think that place is called. It's a, some sort of new news thing that's even more normie conservative tiered than Fox News. You know, and again, I'm not just being insulting to boomers. If you're a boomer listening to this show, obviously you have a wider viewpoint than your others. But the point is, you know, the only people I can even find anymore who are still all gung-ho on Trump are literally that, ill-informed boomers. I'm not saying they're bad people. That, you know, might people I like, or, you know, people you like. But you'll find that they're just ill-informed. It's, again, it's not an insult. It's just a statement of fact. You know, they get their news from Fox News, Newsmax, these funneled narrative sites, you know. And that's it. That's his support. And it's a dying core of support. Why does that matter? Because you say, well, that doesn't matter anyway, because he ain't going to be in there that long. It matters because it is a reflection of the support for the system, and particularly the when it comes to the Israel support. The you know, the polls that show that basically no one in America, aside from this same demographic, still has a positive view of Israel. That spells a lot of problems in the future for this agenda and for the system itself on a fundamental level, because the whole system itself is built around supporting Israel. So what this speech was, in my opinion, what this speech was an attempt to shore up that core and maybe bring some of those people back in. This is all market research. Firms do it. I'm sure they have versions of AI that go through it, whatever, and analyze the data. Among the people that have drifted off and quit supporting Trump, if you still asked them, do you think the 2020 election was rigged, which is an obvious fact of the massive amounts of corruption that went on there, you know, they'll say, yeah, they still believe that. So what do? They have Trump come out and make a speech about how it's, you know, how it's rigged. See, the idea is those people are going to hear that and come back in. Ooh, Trump's talking about the rigged 2020 election. He's going to release the proof. He's going to release the documents. Now, the media, they got to play their role of orange man bad for, you know, the people they're trying to keep. This is what I'm saying. This is all a concerted effort to keep people bought into the system. That's what they're trying to do. Keep you bought into the system. The normie leftist has to hear the news anchor talk about he's repeating those debunked claims about the obviously totally honest 2020 election. They're trying to reel that support in for the Trump supporters to get some of them back on board, back on the decrepit, derailed, overturned, fell off the bridge Trump train. Oh, you're supposed to hear he's talking about the 2020 rigged election. He's finally going to release the proof and own the libs once again. The Trump derangement syndrome, they're going to go, the liberals are going to lose their minds. But as usual, the nationwide competency crisis cannot help. You know, it's just kind of like how Hollywood can't produce any movies that are memorable anymore. Do you remember what movies were out last year at this time? I don't. More than likely, most of you don't, too. Because it's all forgettable trash. You know, all they're able to do is remakes and cape shit movies, you know? Just another Marvel Comics movie, and they're forgettable. It's like that. The competency crisis. And this, too, is a part of this commonplace corruption. It's just the cancer has spread to every aspect of this society. You know, so he does his speech, and the point is to try to shore up Trump's support, because Trump is the Iran war. It's not the immigration. It's not the stuff what's left of MAGA, you know, is trying to pretend it is. You know, people who are nostalgic for 2015 Trump, that's not it. The remainder of this guy's political career is he is the Iran war. He is this war that they launched for Israel, prodded on by Israel. You know, and that's it. That is the definition. They can try to change the subject all they want to, but this is him. Nobody is going to, you know, if they're writing history 10 years from now, whoever's writing it, it probably won't be written by America because it probably won't exist anymore. But whoever is writing it, nobody's going to really care about 2016, 2017 Trump. The Trump, quote unquote, Trump presidency is going to be defined by this. Now, it's not an American war. It's an Israeli war. This is the turning point where no one can any longer deny who owns and operates your government. So they're trying to shore that support back up. But again, the competency crisis cannot help but come through. So he does a speech about the fraudulent. They totally tried to keep Donald Trump out. And he does this whole thing. Talks about, you know, influence, foreign influence in the election and in our governments. And everybody knows there's a lot of foreign influence, and we know where it comes from. So basically, he does a whole thing, only he just removes what should be Israel and plugs in China. Because you see, the low information boomers that only get their viewpoints from Fox News and Newsmax, see, that plays right. See, it's China again. It's those Chinese, those pesky Chinese. That's who owns your government. It's kind of like when these people try to talk about, you know, oh yeah, we really need to talk about this foreign influence in our government from the Middle East. And it's like, it is pretty bad. And then they'll top it off with, yeah, you know, Qatar has a lot. What? Qatar? Yeah, they bought Trump that airplane, you know. Normie liberal media be type, oh yeah, you know, Trump got donated that airplane. That's obvious bribe from Qatar. You're supposed to ignore the Israeli elephant in the room. But you see, it's all synchronized, it's all part of trying to get people to keep buying into the system. China trying to influence our election. You see, China was really afraid of a Donald Trump presidency. It's just, you know, it's painful to your mind to listen to this idiocy. That's why I didn't watch it. Just the clips of it are enough, you know. It just causes just mental and spiritual stress to listen to this level of bullshit.
China was very afraid of a Donald Trump presidency, so you had this foreign influence. Please don't talk about Israeli influence. They're our greatest ally, you know.
That's why, yeah, China, that's why China, you know, can come in and write legislation, hand it to congressmen, you know, to integrate our militaries and stuff like that, right? Now, let's tie the two things together. The Lindsey Graham thing and this together for just a minute. I often refer to or point out that, you know, I don't support the system. You know, I mean, people, this is why I don't think I have, people make the statement, you know, you're not voting your way out of this. And that's a common thing people say now. But people have a different, when you say that, they have a different interpretation in their minds of what that means. Some people picture there's going to be some armed revolution. I see that as just a statement of fact because the system is designed, you know, to work in the way it is. I don't vote. I'm done voting. I've been done voting. I'm proud to say I didn't vote for Trump or Harris or anybody, but I'm done voting because I'm not participating in the system. And as I pointed out in my viewpoint, the system is satanic, you know, and that's not just like throwing around insults, you know. Kind of like how the left will say every, you know, anything they don't like, well, that's racist. It's like, well, what do you mean? No, I'm not going to sit around just anything I don't like. That's satanic. No, it's by definition satanic. That's why I'm not participating in it. What do I mean by that? This ties back to Lindsey Graham. Let's be honest of who this person was. Because he is representative of the system, and hopefully I will do this competently enough that it makes sense when I'm done here. Who was he? What did he do? What did he spend his public life for? The man advocated for and celebrated mass murder. You know, not in some sort of, what do I want to say? Rhetorical context. He said things like, oh, we're spending this money and the Ukrainians are killing lots of Russians. That's a great thing. That is literally advocating and funding murder. You know, I know. If you went out and you paid, I don't know, you paid a friend of yours or a neighbor or a coworker. You paid somebody to go murder someone. And you get caught, you're going to go to prison for murder, even though you didn't technically pull the trigger. You bought the gun. You handed it to the guy. You told him who to go kill. You know, that's why if they catch an assassin, if you hire an assassin and they catch the guy, you're going to go for murder, same as if you pulled the trigger, not just the assassin. It's the way it works because you're the murderer. Yeah, you hired a second party to do it, but it came from you. You were the source of the murder. This guy is the source of the murder of literally millions of people because there's not a war that he has not advocated for. Why? For money, for filthy lucre. It galls me. When you think of this in the context, hear me out. Those of us who've been on the receiving end of the ire of the self-righteous left, you know, their mean words on the internet could have caused somebody, could have, there's no proof for it, but it could have caused somebody to go harm someone. You know? Sven Longshanks, of course, it's the UK, but it's just a matter of degree. You know, Sven Longshanks went to prison because, you know, they couldn't produce a single witness to say, oh, yeah, this person went out and did violence because of something Sven Longshanks said on Radio Albion. But it could have, theoretically, so he's got to go to jail. You got to lose your job. those of us who lose jobs. Dr. Johnson, he should be a tenured professor at a prestigious university if education system meant anything, but he's not. You know, he lives on, you know, he lives on very little. I don't want to speak out of turn. He lives on very little and does his academic work. Lindsey Graham, these types of people, Lindsey Graham literally paid money, made sure money got spent, and celebrated the deaths, the actual murders. Not, oh, his words could have inspired somebody to go do violence. No, this guy literally funded, advocated for, and celebrated the murder of millions of people all over the world. And isn't it a racist thing? He celebrated the murder of Palestinians, Iraqis, Iranians, Russians. Hell, he is an equal opportunity murderer. Oh, you can't call him a murderer. He didn't actually kill anyone, as far as you know. But what did we just point out earlier? If you pay somebody to go murder someone, you're going to prison for murder under the law in this country. Rightfully so. This guy literally did that. See how the law is a joke? If you pay someone to go murder your ex-wife, you rightfully go to prison for that. Because you're a murderer. You didn't pull the trigger, but you are the reason the murder happened. You did it. You paid for it. You provided. You did it. This guy was a mass murderer on a grand scale, and that's not rhetoric. He funded it. He celebrated. He told everybody he was glad to do it. When you sit there and say, don't try to we me. I don't have nothing to do with it. I don't have anything against any of those people. I don't know them. They ain't done nothing to me. This guy celebrates millions of people, millions being murdered. Not, oh, well, the way he worded things could have made somebody go do something. I mean, they didn't, but you could have. This guy literally paid for, advocated for, celebrated, openly celebrated millions of people being murdered. And we're supposed to act like we've lost somebody. Great. The rest of us would just go to prison. Now, here's my point. They're liars. We know that. That's well documented. And murderers. What did Jesus say? When Jesus was confronting the forefathers of a lot of these same people, basically, the forerunners, if you would, he said, when he described them as the children of the devil, he said, what? He describes the devil for us. We don't have to sit there and have some mystery of who he is. Jesus told us he is a liar and a murderer. Remember, Jesus sees things outside of time. He was before, he is after, he's part of God. So he's seen all of it. That's why when he said, you know, before Abraham was, I am. He said, the devil is a liar and a murderer. You know, there's no truth in him. He's a liar and a murderer. He's a liar and a murderer from the beginning. He's always been a liar and a murderer. So when I say the system is satanic, I mean that literally. Jesus said the devil's a liar and a murderer. Been from the beginning. That's what he did. When he speaks lies, he speaks his own language. That's what Jesus Christ said. When he speaks lies, he speaks of his own language. That's his language. There is no truth in him. Now you look at this system, which is responsible for the murder of millions of people. Lies to you when the truth would serve better. They lie anyway. That's their go-to thing. They lie. Okay, Jesus said the devil's a liar and a murderer. He said the Pharisees are liars and murderers. The system is composed of liars and murderers. The whole system functions on lies and murder. How the hell else are you going to describe it besides satanic? It's literally by the definition. If the devil is a liar and a murderer, and this system runs on lies and murders. It is, by that definition, satanic. So it's not an insult. It's not to say, well, I don't like it, so I'm going to say it's at the devil. No, I mean, literally, Jesus described who the devil was, and the system is a direct word-for-word correlation of that description. So it is, by Jesus' own definition, a satanic system. That's why I'm not voting in it. I'm not participating with the devil. See, it's not, don't come at me with, oh, but see, you got to vote for the lesser of two evils. You don't want this person getting in there. It could be even worse. Look, I'm not participating in Satan's ritual. No, it's not about believing this personality or that personality. Look, once you recognize the system for what it is, hear me now. Once you do that, it's fine what you did before you didn't know. I've done a lot of things out of ignorance that, looking back, it's like, man, I just didn't know. But once you know, once you see it and understand, look, the system is literally, by definition, again, not mine, the definition given by Jesus, it is literally a satanic system. I'm not going to participate in it. I'm coming up out of it. I'm getting as far away from that as I can.
But you gotta vote. Otherwise, nothing will change.
When has voting changed? Look, I've been around for a minute. You know, I'm not a young dude anymore. Trust me, I spent decades voting. Oh, things have changed, all right, and not for the better, like at all. They've gotten more and more absurd and stupid because the corruption now is so commonplace, so widespread. It ain't changed anything. You act like, oh, if you don't vote, you can't expect anything to change. If you do vote and you think things are going to change, that's just insanity. But again, it has nothing to do with that at the end of the day. Once you recognize, as a Christian believer, once you recognize that, like, here's Jesus' definition of who the devil is, the summary, you know, and then you look at the system, how it operates, and those who operate in it, and it's just like an overmatch, you know, kind of like the funny old meme, you know, it's the same person, you know, it's the same picture. Once you see that, you can't unsee it. You know, I don't want to share in the guilt. Oh, well, you can say, well, you did. You bear some responsibility for however many Iranians now have been murdered because you voted. You voted. You have some ownership in it. Not me. I have no ownership in it. I didn't participate in this satanic system. Once you see it, it lines up with Jesus' definition of Satan, liars and murderers. I can't think of a more accurate description for this system, for this government as a whole. And it isn't one guy. It isn't just Donald Trump. Where's my, you have Team D cheerleaders still supporting the system. And they act like, oh, if it just wasn't Trump in there. If Trump wasn't in there and you had a Democrat in there, you would have the same war going on. Only they would just also be playing up more gay stuff. Just like Trump's doing this war, but also, you know, doing this ridiculous ICE theater he's doing in this. God. The ICE theater. Got federal agents running around doing traffic stops now. What the hell? That too is a part of trying to shore up his base. Oh, well, he's still, at least he's doing something about the immigration. No, he's not. You've got however many millions of people here supposedly in the country illegally. If you think having guys driving around snatching people off the street in vans or rolling up on some you know, some random Mexican painter, and oh, he's here illegal, and grabbing him one at a time like this, you know, ushering him out, I'll go usher him out of the country. That is not doing anything about immigration. I'm sorry, it's just not. It would be like, you know, doing something about the fire ant den in your front yard by standing out there with, you know, sitting out there with a pair of tweezers and grabbing one fire ant at a time and putting them in a jar. You know, that's just silly. It's theater. It's just try to keep you buying in to the satanic system. Speaking about the immigration thing, I don't remember if I talked about this before. If I did, I'm sorry for repeating. I can't keep up. We're in what? Episode 383. Trust me, it all runs together after a while from my viewpoint. But you got, you know, the Trump thing. They're rounding up random people, you know. Meanwhile, the Indian head of like Xbox division of Microsoft, the Indian woman that's the CEO of that part, she just shit canned like 3,500 workers while applying for like 5,000 H-1B visas to bring in more people from India to take those jobs. Now tell me again about how illegal immigration is the problem. Come on, normie cons, hit me again with, we got no problem with immigration, it's the illegal part. They tell you that you should celebrate the legality of bringing infinity Indians in to replace you in your, you know, your jobs that actually have some decent pay. But you should be outraged about, you know, illegal Jose who is up there on your roof in 130 degree heat putting shingles on your freaking house. Yeah, that's the bad guy. Just such ass. Theater. It's funny, when you start understanding the definitions and the patterns given to us in the Bible, and you look and see if things fall into that category, you know, you start, this gives this a part of discernment, you know, liars and murders. Are they liars and murders? Literally, yes. You know, by definition. This system, these people like Lindsey Graham have celebrated an effort. We're not supposed to say anything negative about him because he's dead now. And the man literally, when he was alive, gloated about the deaths of millions of people. Millions. That's no small amount. You know? People that had nothing to do with us, and people that had nothing to do with him. That's what makes it extra disgusting, you know? If someone caused you great harm, if you hear about a story and someone caused another man great harm, and that man reacted violently and killed him, you may not agree with that, but at least you can understand it. You know, this guy did something really affront, you know, he done disrespect him a lot, you know? He done to disrespect him a lot. And so, you know, he fought. He reacted violently to that. You may not agree with it, but you can at least understand it on a certain level. But, you know, somebody just goes up and, I don't know, walks into a school. If somebody walks onto a school bus full of little kids and just starts blowing their heads off, You don't have any understanding of that at all, because you're like, well, what the hell is that? You know? The guy who came home and caught his neighbor banging his old lady and beat the guy to death, you may be like, well, he shouldn't have done that. I mean, it ain't worth going to prison and ruining your life over a woman. But you can at least understand it, why in the heat of the moment the guy would do that. Somebody walks onto a school bus or walks into a school and starts blowing the brains out of little kids, you're like, I can't understand that at all. Why in the hell would you do that? You know, doesn't make any sense. These same politicians who will point out the man, oh, the school shooters are horrible. Yeah, that's right. And they're the same thing. They're hypocrites. Oh, they'll get on TV and condemn some lunatic who went in and killed a bunch of kids in a school. And then they'll go turn right around the same day and fund more bombs. You know, they'll fund shooting two Tomahawk missiles into an Iranian school and murdering 168, 170 students and teachers and saying that's great. Celebrate it. This is the leaving of the Pharisees, hypocrisy. It's what Jesus was talking about. Well, they'll get in front of the TV cameras. There's school shooting in America. They'll get in the TV cameras and say, we've got to do something. We've got to do something about this senseless violence in our schools. And then they themselves will turn around and fund, celebrate, fire off two missiles, and murder 107. That's a hell of a kill count. I don't know of any school shooting that had a kill count like that. 170 in a school, students and teachers. See what I'm saying? Liars, murderers. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. Not participating in the system because it's not just because it you understand that it does something. It doesn't. I won't say it's broken because it's not broken. It's working as designed. They just lied to everybody about what it's designed to do. You start participating once you understand that it is by definition a satanic system. I, as a believer, can't participate in anything like that. I'm not. No, and I'd say I can't, but I really would like to. No, I literally, once you understand, once you see it, you can't unsee it. Not participating in it. Don't want anything to do with it. But anyway, we got to wrap up on that note. Hope you got something out of the show. Hope you enjoyed today's discussion. Hope you enjoy and have a great rest of your week. And as always, hope to see you here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.